You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Israel utility attack looks like ransomware. Update on Ukraine grid hack. ISIS information ops continue to look better than it's hacking, but the cyber caliphate isn't giving up. They say they're going to take down Google. Dodgy apps for both Apple and Android appear, one from Apple. Oracle starts down the path of retiring Java browser plugins. Congress wants answers on Juniper's backdoored screen OS and gives federal agencies 2 weeks to come up with them. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, January 28, 2016. Yesterday's attack on the Israeli power grid turns out to amount to less than at first thought. The group attacked, the Israel Electric Authority, is a regulatory body whose network is quite unconnected to utilities networks, still less connected to control systems. The attack seems to have been real enough, but it also appears to have amounted to spear phishing with ransomware payloads, and that, of course, would account for why there was no effect on power distribution. The Ukrainian power grid hack remains both interesting and complicated. Reuters reports that another unnamed utility was compromised back in October, and that the attackers were able to gain access by exploiting users' naivete about phishing, and by utility network operators' willingness to connect control systems they ought by policy to have left air-gapped. The Black Energy 3 malware dropped by phishing payloads still does not strike investigators as directly implicated in control system manipulation. But researchers at Sentinel-1 have determined that Black Energy did include a network sniffer. A Ukrainian telecoms engineer has told the Register that attribution of the attack to Russia is a provocation, a put-up job by Ukraine's government to whip up popular anger against its large and menacing neighbor. ESET, which did much of the initial investigation of the incident, when asked about the attribution, points out sensibly that attribution is a slow and difficult process. While the association of Black Energy with Russian threat actors is fairly well established, evidence of Russian responsibility for the attack remains circumstantial. But one would have to note that evidence of Ukrainian provocation is less than circumstantial, resting as it does largely on a theoretical possibility. The grid hack continues to alarm those who concern themselves with industrial control systems. there's much talk of the risks involved in networking such systems. And to take one expert's opinion, Rob Joyce, chief of the U.S. NSA's Tailored Access Operations, also known as TAO, yesterday told a conference in San Francisco that, quote, SCADA security is something that keeps me up at night, end quote. He commended the problem to industry and academic researchers. The ISIS-affiliated Cyber Caliphate is reported to be working on an unspecified attack against Google. Elsewhere on the ISIS cyber front, the alleged security capabilities of the Al-Rawi messaging app, discussed recently by the Ghost Security Group, are now pretty conclusively debunked. Not even Ghost Security seems to believe they amount to much. So far, then, ISIS cyber capabilities remain more aspirational than actual. Their information operation capabilities, on the other hand, remain very real. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jim Dubik argues in an Army magazine opinion piece that winning against ISIS will require defeating the group's narrative. U.S. Secretary of Defense Carter has given Cyber Command marching orders to increase its operations against ISIS, and a passcode poll shows sentiment among influencers now running narrowly in favor of nudging tech companies to do more to impede ISIS messaging. In other cyber risk news, FireEye warns that JSPatch, an open-source hot patching tool available to apps in the Apple App Store, is vulnerable to exploitation. JSPatch could allow malicious actors to work around the review protections built into the Apple Store's walled garden. Oracle announces that it will deprecate the notoriously risky Java browser plugin with Java version 9 and will remove it entirely in a subsequent release. Heimdall warns of a renewed, vigorous Crypto Wall 4.0 campaign and suggests that it might be preparing the way for a more dangerous Crypto Wall 5.0 ransomware effort. Bleeping Computer reports discovery of a new ransomware strain, 7EV3N, we'll also call it 7, which is demanding a fairly pricey ransom, 13 Bitcoin, which comes to about $5,000. Symantec describes a new strain of Android ransomware, Android Lockdroid E, which uses clickjacking to acquire admin privileges on the targeted machine. The malware is available as an app, but not, one is happy to note, from the Google App Store. So Android users beware of downloading dodgy apps from third-party stores or torrent sites. Members of Congress appear to have lost patience with U.S. executive agencies' failure to account for and report on their vulnerability to compromise through the back door in Juniper Network's ScreenOS. The House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Information Technology wants answers within 2 weeks. The subcommittee chair, Texas Republican Representative William Hurd, takes to the Wall Street Journal's op-ed page to call the vulnerability, quote, the breach you haven't heard of, end quote. Homeland Security and other departments are investigating. Another rogue Google extension, iCalc, poses as a calculator app, but in fact, says researchers at Malwarebytes, installs spyware on unwary users' devices. In a minor cruel twist, it doesn't even function as a calculator. I mean, come on, criminals. Really?
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Joining me is John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. John, in the global arena, what makes the U.S.-China relationship so challenging?
There's nothing mysterious, really, about why it's challenging. You have two countries that aren't, they're not enemies. They're not adversaries in that sense. They're huge trading partners with one another. It's difficult to imagine the Chinese or the American economies without one another. They have diplomatic relations with one another. There are all kinds of exchanges between the two countries. There are all sorts of relationships there. But there's also this fraught competition. So they're competitors who depend upon each other. and that makes for a difficult relationship.
And what are the Chinese capabilities in cyberspace?
If you look at things that the U.S. Cyber Command has published recently, there's a lot of talk about the United States facing a peer competitor, a technological peer competitor in cyberspace. Peer competitor is an interesting term. The last peer competitor we had in general military terms was the Soviet Union. That since the Soviet Union went away, the United States really hasn't had a clear peer competitor. So a peer competitor is somebody who has about the same kinds of capabilities that you have and can do many of the same things you can do. The People's Liberation Army and its third department specifically, which is responsible for cyber, certainly has capabilities that are analogous to those that the U.S. Cyber Command has.
And this goes beyond just your run-of-the-mill, you know, spy versus spy espionage.
Yeah, it does. The Chinese have explicitly avowed that they have an offensive cyber capability. That's a declared capability. They declared that last year formally. So they want people to know that. And there's every reason to think, there's no reason to think that they don't have that capability. They surely do. That kind of capability is more than just, the modernized version of old signals intelligence. This is the ability to damage systems, to manipulate information, to do all the sorts of things that we associate with offensive cyber operations.
And what is the United States doing in terms of deterrence?
For deterrence to work, and deterrence is a concept that really has its home historically in the Cold War. It's nuclear deterrence is where all these concepts developed. So what you have, if you've got deterrence, is you fundamentally have two rational actors who are competing with each other. And each one is able to hold something vital of the others at risk, whether it be a capability, whether it be their people, whatever it is that they value, you hold it at risk. And the basic idea is that you're telling the opponent, I have this capability. And if you use your similar capability against me, expect retaliation. Or if you do these certain things, you can expect us to do this. And the goal is that they won't do it, that both sides will be deterred from acting this way. It's not clear yet how well that will work out in cyberspace, or even if it works out at all in cyberspace.
All right. John Petrick, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? a culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.